Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today, we've got comedian Fred Stoller in the studio. You may know him from, well, just about everything. But today, we're giving this actor, comedian, author his moment in the spotlight to talk sex, dating, and the funnier things in life. Okay, I know I've been talking lately about my Sibian, but I'm ready to really get into it. I'm ready to tell you about how this thing is going to change your life. You may think you know all about the Sibian, but forget what you've heard about it, because it's so different than any other sex product you've seen before. In fact, it's so much more than just a sex toy. The Sibian is a full-on sexual experience, one that you can enjoy solo or with a partner. For one thing, it's the only sex product with a unique mountable design that simulates the feel of riding a partner during woman on top position. And the cool thing about the Sibian is that each woman has the power to customize her experience every time she uses it and make it work for her. So there's 11 different attachments. So you can just use it and ride it, you know, for your clitoris. So you can have one that looks like a penis. There's one shaped like a finger, whatever you're into. And it doesn't matter what you choose, because it provides you with a variety of orgasms that you can choose from. There is no limit to the ways you can experience a Sibian, and each machine is as unique as the woman riding it. And women who have trouble reaching orgasm during intercourse, and I know there's a lot of you out there because I hear from you every day, Sibian just might be the secret to unlocking your orgasmic potential. Repeated rides in the Sibian can train your body to orgasm, making it easier to experience multiple O's and increased sexual response with a partner. And because of the unique design to Sibian, once you learn how to orgasm with it, you can transfer that experience to sex with your partner. The way you move, you know, you can figure out what feels good. Oh, and have I mentioned how hot it is for your partner to watch you play with it? Listen to this testimonial from a Sibian website from a user. My husband and I have been married for 17 years, and I always thought our sex life was okay, but I didn't get too excited about it. My first time on the Sibian, I can hardly describe the feeling I had. My body just exploded. It was unreal what happened to me. I soon realized at the age of 38, with Sibian, I had my first orgasm ever. I've now started having orgasms while making love to my husband, and I have Sibian to thank. Shelly from Texas. So to hear what other happy customers have to say about their sex life-changing Sibian, or to order your customized Sibian today, visit Sibian.com. And as a special treat for Sex with Emily listeners, get $75 off your first order. That's Emily75 at Sibian.com, Sibian.com. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Relationships and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our new website. You're going to love it. Rock our new website because it's awesome. Sign up for our mailing list. Check out all the content. It's going to be so much easier to find 10 years of content now on our new site. You'll love it. Right, Menace?
Of course.
I'm so glad you're here. Happy birthday yesterday.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Jeez.
Dude,
I'm
I know. What are we going to do?
I missed it. We are going to party.
Party
like crazy, yeah.
Okay. I want to do something.
I'm over partying.
We used to party. You are.
I know.
Dude, what happened?
Take
you're
me
like
to
so old.
Take me to Boa, the nice
I'll
steakhouse.
Dude, I would.
No.
Seriously?
I'm just kidding. No.
You don't want to go do that with me.
No, I do.
Want to go to a movie?
I want to hang out. No, not a movie because you'll talk through it the entire time.
Okay, enough with that. So today, yeah, Fred Stoller's here.
Yes.
He's probably in everything you've ever seen. Like he's
I know.
Been in Friends, Everybody Loves Raymond, Scrubs, Hannah Montana, My Name is Earl. And he talks about like being kind of middle-level comedian. He wrote a really funny book about, you know, the title is Maybe We'll Have You Back.
Yeah,
all right. The life of a perennial TV guest star. Like, he was like, man,
yeah.
Too. So he's going to come in. And also,
once I saw Fred, I recognized him right away.
Of course.
I'm like, I know that guy.
Yeah. Hi, Fred.
Come
this
on,
is
Fred.
Menace.
Sit down.
Everyone knows
Barely.
Fred. Right?
I don't know.
Hi,
me,
Fred.
No.
You don't know me? Hi, Fred.
Hi,
this is Menace. This
Menace.
Is Madison.
What's your name?
This
Menace. Just M.
Like Menace
Dennis
Society.
Menace. Yeah.
That's his like
it's
radio
weird.
Name, but that's like his real name. His mom called
wow.
him Menace.
Wow. Have you performed in San Francisco? I swear I've seen you. You do stand up?
We lived in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You live there now?
I
we
used
live,
to, yeah. I moved here about a year and a half ago.
Wow, God. So loud me. Stand up, you would have been like a little kid when I did stand up.
Really?
I took a long break.
Mm-hmm.
Then sort of came back, and I'm semi-retiring again from stand-up.
Okay.
You can't dabble. You got to really hang out at clubs and be aggressive and and stuff. But I did it, I think, Cobb's in 88.
Okay.
Wow. When Robin Williams would come in and, and another guy passed away, Warren Thomas, excuse me, would come in. So this was by the pier.
What is it, the comic club?
Yeah, Cobb's. It's right
and
there.
I remember that I was, you know, when I was doing Stan, my act was very low key and subtle. Hey, Stanley, and wherever I would go, they'd switch me with the middle. You're not high energy enough, and people would always apologize. Oh, this is just Baltimore or this is Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I started not killing with, you can't say Boston or San Francisco. Oh, they're just hayseeds.
Yeah.
But that one was a lot of tourists. The
it's all tourists.
So it wasn't. I'm blaming why you didn't do well.
Oh,
I don't know. So maybe we didn't see it there. But you've been in so many shows. I mean, that's your your book.
Thank you.
Maybe we were just talking about it before you came. Maybe we'll have you back, The Life of a Perennial TV Guest Star, Fred Stoller.
That's what I hope they say.
Yeah. They say what, on your tombstone, you mean? Or
when I do a show or with a woman.
Oh, maybe we'll have you back.
Yes. You know.
We all hope that. Maybe.
Yeah, you just hope for a maybe because they can't promise when you're a guest star guy, because this regulars have contracts and make millions, but you just hope you heard it. Or people, a lot of them say it to each other. When my first show I was on, I heard one guy go, "Well, I'm the mailman. They always need mail. Maybe they'll bring me back." Or I was at the diner. I ordered the lemonade. I could be the guy that eats the lemon or drinks the lemonade. So we just want maybes to keep us going.
But do you even believe the maybe sometimes? Because you're like, I guess you want to hear it, but then I always feel like they're not going to be like, "But good job today." It's kind of like, "I'll call you."
Yeah, yeah. You still, my analogy is like being a foster kid going from show to show, hoping one keeps me on.
Right. And what was the first show you were on?
That was a million years ago. No one heard of it, called Singer and Sons, about a Jewish deli. And that's where I first heard them say, "I had the fruit salad. Maybe I could be the guy known as the fruit salad. I was the uncle. I'm related." And did not realize saying for the next 20-something years, I'd be the desperate guy hoping I'm a cousin. Right. My joke I did, I was the cousin on Raymond. The difference between the cousin and the brother is $77 million.
Right, exactly.
And I look more like Raymond than Brad Garrett did. So... yeah, so when the first, I did Amen. These are the first shows where I was a biker. I was skinnier than this. And the joke was I wore a tank top and I was in a motorcycle jacket threatening people. I go, "Oh, maybe I could be back to harass people." So you just try to bring the hope up in your own head. But yeah, you try not to get too... people think I'm negative. You just learn to be cautiously optimistic.
Exactly.
You're only real excited when something, the thing I learned about women or with career, it's only something if it's something. This is, you know, I'm not like you, an expert relationship person, but the advice I give people and to myself, whenever a guy or girl is analyzing, "She said this, but then the email said this," if you're analyzing, it's not there. When it's there, do you agree
you
with this?
You won't be analyzing?
Yes. When something's there, you don't have to break down everything. You just know.
I think it's just a waste of time, the time that we... I agree. My friends and I, we sit around analyzing text. People started texting all the time. We'd be passing back, "What did this mean? What does this mean?" I'm like, do you realize with all the time we spent analyzing what this means, we could like have the cure for cancer right now.
Right.
Like, this is the biggest waste of our goddamn time.
But like I said, the few successes I've had with women is when they give you a look, like, "You're giving me..." No, I'm just kidding. No, look in the eye, like, "I get a kick out of this guy. I encourage you." You sort of know. Whenever I'm trying to be like John Cusack and say anything and be charming, or John Cryer, I'm not saying. Whenever I'm trying, this is another thing I learned. You know how I got? You know how you get a woman to like you?
How?
She has to like you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing.
You can't do anything. Yeah, yeah.
No,
like,
you
the right
show
car,
up.
The right anything.
No, it's something.
About-
I'm the same Fred. Either I could be to some women like Brad Pitt, but very little, or Hinckley, a serial killer. You know what I'm saying? The same essence. That whenever you're trying to analyze, you know what I mean, it's sort of like auditions. Like, you show up, you're the guy or not. And so I learned the same thing analyzing an audition. Should I not have said this? Should I come
right,
in like that?
You can't
that?
Beat yourself up. You do the as long as you know that you did the best you can.
But you
but
just
then
show
I also beat myself up. Because I went through this in entertainment. I get it. It's all rejection. But no one tells you that when you're starting. Like, at first, you have to learn that. Like, it's okay. You
but
do your
you
best.
Know, my friend who wrote on Raymond for 9 years said, when you walk through the door, you're the guy or not. I'm not gonna be a Southern racist in a gritty, you know, a noir, you know, like the show Bosch, a gritty crime thing, the intense detective. I just exude skinny kind of Jewish New York guy.
Right.
So it's what you walk through. You're not gonna be a bus driver on a show. You know, you just, you know what I'm saying. It's
right.
Just you're the guy or girl
but
or not.
It's also getting comfortable with knowing who you are too.
Right.
Going in with it. You know, confidence, it kills you. Like, I always tell people, like, your life work should be cultivating confidence. It will help you in every way.
But you know what's something? I learned with me that you're confident because you're confident. You can't fake it. You know what I'm saying? When people go, "Don't be desperate," that's when you're not desperate.
Right, exactly. You can't fake it. But the thing that makes you not confident is worrying that you're not confident.
Right.
And I think that part of, like, life and living is that you learn to become, you learn to accept yourself and you learn to become your authentic self and accepting you for
I'm
whoever the hell you
I'm just getting to that. Just the
it's a life. It's
acceptance.
Hard. That's
oh, my
life. God. It's true.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. Huh. Well, I want to get into, after being on TV, do you just get access to, you know, women constantly? Or what? They're like, "Oh, I know you."
Well, I know you, but not constant women. Mm-hmm.
Has it? I'm sure it's benefited you in
some way, yes and no, because it's. I've never been an accountant or a sex therapist, so I have nothing to compare my success with women with, you know what
sex
I mean,
therapy.
A non-show business thing. But, excuse me, in one way, it's kind of thwarted. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Or I don't want to be politically incorrect, retarded, and which is the real way to use it, my sense of social...
Like your perception, it's hard to read like, the signs, maybe? The
well, for example...
I mean, that's for any guy, though.
Well, because like when I used to do stand-up comedy, I was pathologically shy and depressed. It made no sense I was a stand-up comic because...
Most of them are, right?
Right, but I was never funny. See, when I started, I was in a class clown. I just went into it because... I knew I was a weirdo. I wanted to be a character actor, but I didn't know how you did that. So it's not like now it is YouTube and you see, you know, all the groundlings. The only way I heard is, oh, Jimmy Walker, Freddie Prinze, they did their act at a place, the Improv. And then you get on The Tonight Show, then you get to be in a sitcom. So I went, oh, I see a way to do that.
Yeah, just the Improv and then you're in a sitcom.
So I fantasized being on The Tonight Show going, this is just my second time doing stand-up. I thought every night there's people at the Improv.
You have some confidence just to get to the Improv. I mean, so.
that's a thing. People don't understand. They go, why are you shy? You've gotten in front of people. But when I did stand-up, again, I said, just do it once. My head was down. I didn't look at the audience. And that became my act by accident because I couldn't look at the audience. I made nooses with the mic cord. I did these weird non sequitur one-liners, things my mother would say. This is true. I'm using the word again, but this is true. When I quit college to try to be a comedian, my mother couldn't understand it because her generation just, you know,
right.
Buddy Hackett. She goes, I don't know how I'm going to tell people you're a comic. I'm going to say you're retarded. That was easier to explain. There's something wrong with Freddie. He lies in bed. And there's something wrong with him. She couldn't say I was a comedian. So basically, I just said I just have to do it once. So basically, with my social life, I would just hope someone came up to me. So I never knew most of my adult life how to try to talk to someone. You hope they break the ice. So you just kind of...
Just wait it out.
Yeah, and I would stand at the Improv waiting for the whole audience to come out and just... But usually they're couples or they go, hey, you look familiar. But they're not going, you look familiar, let's go to bed or anything.
Yeah.
But,
no, never. Sometimes just once. There has to be sometimes you went to bed because...
There has to be some access.
That you went to bed.
Yeah, and I
you've got your Kathy Griffin story.
Yes, yes. She didn't see me do my act. She was, it was at a party, and she just, we had a date, and this is what I like. I like to be bludgeoned. I don't know how to make a move. When I was a virgin when I started stand-up. I was a virgin until I was 21. Again, I didn't know what you're supposed to do. What do you put your... I wasn't going to do anything. I didn't know. You go to their apartment. You put their arm around. So I wanted to guarantee that there'd be sex. So it would take me an hour to muster the courage.
Sounds like a lot of our listeners, a lot of people have fear around that.
And I used to, when I was in high school, I used to wish, you know, we all had magic, you know, like movies, missions. I used to wish that whatever woman liked me, ESP would like light up red or something.
Uh-huh.
I guess want guarantees. Yes. So
yeah. Well, that's what I've been saying on the show for years. I wish women would take more initiation.
I think nowadays they do. Not that they do, but what I think I finally learned is I'm not one of these guys that has rules. Guys do this. Guys like the remote. Women do this. But I think it's more up to a woman, meaning anytime I try to charm someone or quote-unquote work them, nothing. But a woman, the few successes I've had, they just give you a look like, hey, I'm attracted to you or whatever. They make it easy.
Really?
I think that's what I think.
I don't
know. Well, you're the expert.
I
think guys can't pick up the signs, though.
Well, as we talk about, there have been studies that say that men really just can't oftentimes read the signs from a woman that they like them. And how many guys have like been like, you're here years later, they run into their high school crush or college crush, and she's like, I loved you the whole time. He's like, well, I didn't know. I think there is a lot of
maybe
that.
Maybe, like I said, I need to be bludgeoned. I need
no,
and the times I've had success with physical stuff with you allowed to say sex on the show?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. He looked like
no,
this guy's serious.
We're gonna bleep it out.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Where maybe I've had where it was 100%. I kind of knew that there was an attraction. So
how did you know? What'd you feel?
I can. You know it. You just, again, a look like they ask questions back.
She's giving you fellatio, and they're like, she might like me.
She wants to suck my penis.
Yes.
It's on.
She might be into
me. You kind of know, but then again, I've been wrong. So what am I talking about? Oh, she seemed like she's flirting. They're from the South.
Yeah,
you know what
true.
I mean? So I don't know what I'm talking about. Kathy Griffin, I went to her apartment, and we're trying to decide, should we go out to eat? Should we see a movie? Then she goes, I'm wet. So that gave me the confidence.
There you go.
Yeah. So maybe I've been looking for that.
She wasn't like there's something leaking. She was
No. She told me
so
she was wet.
Do?
Well, it gave me the confidence to start kissing, and you know, and so we in the apartment. I didn't think we had to go on a date when they're wet before the date.
Right. Yeah. Like I'm down. Yeah. Some money here and so, tacos. Yeah.
So it was. We were doing stuff, and she had just seen a TV movie about a woman that batters men, and she wanted to hit me in the face because she doesn't like men. She was saying she has hostility towards men, mm-hmm. and she goes, I don't like men. I go, why? She goes, they rape, they go to strip clubs, and they see porno. And I said, kidding around. I only do two out of three of those.
Right.
And,
it's funny.
And
that made her wetter. Perhaps.
Yeah. Well, she wanted to hit me, and I was assaulted. I have TMJ ligament damage in my face.
Oh,
I said,
geez.
The hitting wouldn't be a good idea. Maybe the right. I don't
right.
know.
Right. Wow.
And but I didn't want to be hit.
I don't blame you. Good for standing up for yourself.
Yes. Yes. So. She was weird, and
and then what?
She was with her in general.
Well, yeah, like you're like, I'm out. I don't do the hitting.
Well, I have to confess something.
Okay, You can do this here. It's
okay.
Safe.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Again, all right. I'm not a sleazy guy at all. I never when I was a comedian.
I don't read sleaze from.
No, now. No. But I never could like follow waitresses around. Hey, what are you doing? You know, I could probably get laid if. And I can't manipulate. There's a lot of guys, they sit at Starbucks and they'll see a woman in a laptop and they go, hey, you're trying to write things. I could be your fix-it guy. You know,
yeah.
I could never,
right.
I'll do your one-woman show. I'll do it. You know, I could never pretend to be a blowhard, to pretend to be an expert, to try to, you know what I mean, be the guy that they, oh, you'll write my show. I probably, you know, I wrote on Seinfeld, so I could probably have, so I'm giving myself credit for not being sleazy that way.
Yeah.
I never manipulate. But if someone's available, I've done things I'm not proud of. Meaning,
it's okay.
Meaning, when I really know this is bad, maybe I've had sex one last time. You know what I mean?
Does and then you just sense? Don't call him? What do you mean? You
no, I'm not spiteful, not calm. Yeah. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? No, but you're saying you have sex with someone. And
okay. What I mean is, you know. You know this is sad. You know this is not going to be something. She's hostile.
Right.
It's weird.
No, but you, still
but if
have
you
sex
had
with
one
them
more
anyways.
Opportunity
yeah,
for
yeah.
sex.
Everyone does that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's common.
There was one woman I knew it was bad because she put kidding around, but trying to warn me a knife to her cat's throat. And
oh,
I love cats.
Wow.
Jesus,
yeah.
You gotta...
And I should have walked out then, but we did one last time,
yeah.
even though, you know what I mean? I've done things like that.
Right,
yeah, but
like
again,
she's after the animal, not me.
Everyone's done that.
But
though.
She was trying to show, she was going, she thought the cat was going out, going, you just want the other lady in the hall because you want the hot chick, the next hot chick. I was saying, cats don't know if a woman is hot or not. And she goes, you better not stray. And I think was trying to show me don't stray.
Oh my God, we need to fix you up with some healthier yeah.
women that don't put knives to cat's throat.
I know, exactly. That sounds like a good start. But first, I just need to talk about one thing here.
Sure.
We'll get back
yeah.
to knives and your dangerous dating habits.
Yeah.
I need to talk about...
Oh, no, I did one dude... if we get back to a story, there was one woman made it. There have been women that made themselves available sexually, and I didn't do it. There's been a lot.
All right.
There was... I've been smart.
Oh, dude, I don't think it's bad. I got to talk about Kegel exercises right now. It has nothing to do with you. He just got insecure that I was cutting off your story, but I got to talk about Kegel exercises for one moment.
Okay.
Do you know what they are?
I learned by listening to your podcast.
Oh, you listened?
Yes, I'm listening. You're very sweet, and we'll talk. I was scared going on, and some people
really?
Freaked me out. Dr. Drew's wife. So,
oh, you. Oh, because
she was saying she goes, "You're going to go on sex with Emily. You with anal sex."
Oh.
And so I thought it was one of these podcasts. Hey, dude, you like threesomes? And
yeah.
But you're very sweet, and it's nurturing,
thanks.
And it's not. I've been on some podcasts where I don't like myself, where I'm trying too hard to show. Hey, I talk a lot, and I've done sex. So you don't do that on
no,
this.
No, I'm chill, yeah. Right? The yeah. name I always say is like the raciest part of the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
But Kegel exercises are very important for your pelvic floor strength for men and for women. But I'm going to talk about women now for a moment, because for women, like, we'll do exercises like, so our abs look good and our arms look good and our asses look good, but we don't think about our pelvic floor because no one's really seeing it. But when our pelvic floor isn't strong, we have urinary incontinence. It means that we sneeze and we pee.
I have that.
You have that too? Well, there's something for men too. We can
okay.
talk about that. Do your Kegel exercises. I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp, and it helps you with that. But this product, there's a product now that, because you only do them 5 minutes a day, traffic light, it's the pee-stopping muscles, but nobody remembers to do them. So this is for women, I'm sorry, but it's called the Intensity, and it does your Kegel exercises for you. It looks like it's actually part vibrator, part health device, and I use it every day because it's like kind of my relaxing zen time. I really do. My house, I lean back, and I don't have to do it. It stimulates those muscles. So for like 5 to 10 minutes a day, it takes all the confusion out of Kegel exercises, because most people do them wrong, and it targets your G-spot and your clitoris while you're doing it, so you have like orgasms, and you have stronger Kegel muscles, pelvic floor, which means you have stronger orgasms all around. If you've never had an orgasm, it can help you that way. And also just helps women like with after childbirth, urinary, all this stuff. So it's very important to have a pelvic floor that is strong, because over time it will atrophy and it could get very ugly. So, and it's tighter too. A lot of women worry about being tight. A lot of women worry that they're not tight enough. So Intensity has been proven to tighten and tone your pelvic floor muscles. And people call it the only intimate health product every woman needs. And you can find it at pourmoi.com. That's pourmoi.com. And we did a great show, a great review, if I do say something as of. We did a great review of it called Sex Toy Review, Intense and Unplugged. We also have a blog about it. If you want to learn more, go to pourmoi.com, pourmoi.com. That's all. Back to, I met you at Dr. Drew's birthday
yes,
party.
Yes, yes.
Right?
We bonded over how sweet he is, because
he's a doll.
I have to be honest. Before I met him, I wasn't a fan because of Celebrity Rehab.
Oh.
I thought, he just tries to manipulate them. But he's done so many sweet things. He's so accessible. He really does care. I thought he was just a guy pretending to care about the celebrities for ratings.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great guy. And you, so at first I was intimidated, thinking, I'm the Beverly Hills sex lady. I thought
Beverly Hills sex
I thought
lady.
You were like, hey, make please me. I'm the woman. I deserve things because I'm attractive. I don't know why. And you.
That's hilarious.
I thought, hey, give me the world. Give me orgasms every second. I'm at Hustler. I don't know.
Check out my gigantic dildo.
You know, and I was intimidated. I thought, you know, you were like a royalty. Like you just seem, you dress like. Like a Kennedy, I don't know what I'm talking about. I thought you were like a Larchmont woman, kind of like Beverly. I'm the Beverly Hills sex. You didn't even put Beverly Hills.
Like?
I don't know why. It was sort of like
San Francisco hippie chick.
Yes,
but I
yes.
That.
So then I thought you'd go, who's this weird middle aged skinny guy talking to me? But we really bonded with Drew, and there's a familiarity I have.
Definitely.
And you was beyond so cool, and. And I was, you know, trying to get on the podcast. Hey, you want to plug things? And you were, again, so then I started listing more. And you're not like, a lot of these women in podcasting or sidekicks try to amp it up the show. I'm one of the guys. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, I could talk dirty. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're genuine. You really care. And you're not doing that.
No,
so
I'm kind of myself. I wouldn't know how to be anything else. Like acting.
No.
I tried. I was in a movie once. It wasn't good. I'm just not because even I wanted to act. I'm saying I'm best at being myself.
Well, it's great.
And the
really
more you
works.
Are yourself, you probably realize this through stand-up as well, the more authentic. I mean, like same with you, man. It's doing radio. Don't you feel like it's gave you the confidence also? The more you talk, the more you get accepted. Like you just are who you are wherever you go. The authenticity.
I'm a terrible actor. I can't act
Well, I always play the nebbish, the sidekick, mm-hmm. the hypochondriac, because I'm a real good actor.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
because I'm really the gritty guy from Sons of Anarchy, but I act and I act like a sad sack. No, it should just show up.
You're good. You're doing well. You got your book. You have a podcast as well.
Yeah, yeah. I have a called The Mild Adventures of Fred Stoller. Just I like character actors. I've had all kinds of people, but I like people. I like talking to quirky people rather than George Clooney. Not that he's asking to be on it, right. But I like just people with just every man.
Everyone's interesting. Everyone's got a story.
I hope my books is. I'm like an everyman. I've been on some shows, but I'm just a guy.
That's what it's about. It's about
trying to deal with my mother and where to go next and accept myself and just. Go to the next thing. So, yeah, I like every man.
How long have you been in Los Angeles?
I've been here since 1988.
Yeah.
Okay. Been here forever, yeah.
Where'd you come from before?
New York. I'm from Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and then I lived in Manhattan.
Oh, wow. Was it a big adjustment for you?
Pretty much. Well, yeah. it's just to me, it was just freaking out because I was in the comedy boom, even though I didn't love being a stand-up. It was just a false comfort zone. I'm getting mm-hmm. spots. I thought I... So then you come out here, and when you're in New York, you always go, I haven't tried L.A. yet.
Right.
You know, and now here it's like, where do I go next? This is so, so it's just, it freaks you out, and I see why there's so many feng shuis and acting coaches and
right,
managers.
Right, because everyone's all messed up.
Everyone's looking for the answer. Everyone is looking for a guru. It's everyone, true. You know, and so, yeah, so there's a lot of people that prey on vulnerable people, and my book is a part about a manipulative acting coach that was ridiculous and freaking me out that if I quit, I'll lose everything. Thing, and go back to being a 3-year-old, So
I find good people. That's the thing. A lot of people here will take advantage of you, and I think that you just have to check in with yourself. Because if you're really looking for that, you think this person will save me. This person will save me. And once you realize
there's no magic solution,
there is no magic.
You need a tooth fixed. You know, you get the tooth, but it's nebulous. There's no answers how to be an actor. You just stay in it. My only advice is if you're a writer. I'm stealing this from Stephen King and his great book about writing. Read every day and write every day.
That's true.
If you're an actor or a stand-up, be with people at your level to share information. I don't believe in stand-up comedy classes, but maybe go and then, there's an open mic. Oh, you do this. You know what I mean? You need to be with people at your level to go, to have like a little networking things, not those networking parties. But so I freaked out. Yeah, it was like, wow, this is the end of the line. What happens now? And I leaned on this woman who she set me up. I want to hold you and make up for all the women that hurt you. And
oh my God.
She set herself up to be my mother, my manager, my acting coach. Then she dumped me. She goes, I can't be your shrink to you. This is so one-sided. So she set me up, because I...
Sounds really unhealthy, yeah.
And I became too needy when she set me up for that. So I did it when I first moved to L.A.
We all make mistakes at the beginning. I have bad agents, bad whatever, bad managers. But, I want you to help us answer some emails from people. Is that cool?
Absolutely.
I figured it's good to get more advice here, more people, more minds, better. So everyone, thank you for emailing me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. We love hearing from you. Tell us where you live. What do we say? Where you're from, how old you are.
Yeah.
All that crap.
And how you listen to the podcast.
How you listen to the podcast. So
iTunes, sexwithemily.com, Stitcher, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, right? I'm a new listener. I dig the show. You provide useful insight to your listeners, and now I'm hoping you can give me some of the same. I'm in a situation I'm not sure how to exit. I'm friends with a coworker at work lately. It feels like she may like me more than she lets on. She always wants to hang out with me. She constantly Skypes me at work, and sometimes she will text me at home or over the weekend. I happen to think she's very cute and funny, and she's very sweet to me, but here's the problem. We are both married. Dun, dun, dun. I'm starting to feel really uncomfortable at how she treats me. I have other female friends, but they give me nowhere near the attention she does. I'm feeling I need to break up with her because I think it's causing some confusion for me. Like, she has breakup in quotes. I can't have that clouding my judgment when it comes to my relationship. I'm just not sure how to do it. I don't want to point out her behavior. That could get awkward for both of us. And if I just ignore her, she will obviously want to know why. I could just tell her that she needs to stay away from me and put limits on our communication, but I'm not sure. I don't have the fortitude to be that callous. I don't want to be in this situation. Mm. Any advice? Mm. Thanks, Jay.
Well, at least he answered he doesn't want to be in it.
This is the thing. So yeah. I start reading this.
At least he knows.
I'm like, here's another douchebag. No, you know, a lot of people at work, you meet people at work because they're at their best, right? We all want to be intellectually stimulated by someone. We spend more time with people at work, and I'm thinking, uh-oh. But I feel like he's the most honest married guy.
Yeah, because a lot of guys, they're in denial, or they like the flirting, but they're pretending it's innocuous. Yeah. So he knows it's inappropriate.
Hey, and I love that he checked in. He's like, I feel that I'm crossing the line, and I've got boundaries, and it was like, I thought it was going another direction. So I love that let's give him props for recognizing the confusion it's causing his marriage, and the workplace can be a breeding ground for this. My only concern was it's tricky because when it comes to coworkers, it's like, he can't send her an email being like he says, like, do I just break up with her? No, I think he just has to modify his behavior, and then she'll follow suit. Don't be mean to her. Still be smile and maybe have a lunch, but when she starts that behavior, don't respond to it.
You know, it's another concern he may have. I have these neighbors that are always fighting because the wife picks up his iPhone and reads into, why'd you give her Instagram likes?
Instagram is killing
her. Yeah, why do you Instagram liked her, but she's in a bikini or reading into her emails or Facebook. So if I was him, I'd be nervous that my wife would read into it.
I know. But that's true. That's true. So he can't email it or anything. I think
text. She'll see the texting.
Yeah. I think
wife may be uncomfortable.
Yeah, you have to make yourself less available.
Don't be so available. Don't text her back. And I don't know. At first, I was like, well, you can have a talk with her and be like, listen, we're both married. But then, you know, she could be like, hey, freak out. I would just.
She could have a freak out.
But be nice.
I'm also confused because if she wants to flirt and stuff, they work together. You don't need to if you sit here. It's a little silly.
I know. So he's just got to pull back. I think it's fine. So we have a threesome question because who doesn't love threesomes?
Oh, my God.
Hey, Emily, almost a year ago, I began dating an awesome girl. It started out as casual. We're having a great time and fantastic sex. And then drunkenly one evening, she mentioned once having a threesome.
That's all she needs to do. That's never going to get out of his head.
This spun him out of control and then asked me if I wanted to do it. Naturally, I said yes, as I've always wanted to. Time went on, and our relationship became quite serious. We're now very invested in each other. My feelings for her grew. She continued teasing that three-way for months until finally admitting that she no longer wanted to go through with it due to potential feelings of jealousy. Check this, though. I've done my best to try and let it go, but I can't contain my resentment.
Of course.
He has resentment now and envy and sheer disappointment in knowing that my girlfriend would make my dream come true for another guy that she knew before him. She mentioned to him, oh, I had it once. And do you want to at the beginning? So she put the bait out there, right? So, you know, why? What did he have that I don't? He was probably just banging her every other whatever. What did I lose along the way to make her change her mind? Not wanting to hold our otherwise lovely relationship hostage over a three-way, I feel my hands are tied. I've tried bringing this all up to her before, but she's made me feel pretty bad about it, change the subject, and I want to just get this out of my system. But the more serious our partnership becomes, the more I see this as an impossibility.
Wow.
He says, you know, it's harder for me to be attracted to her, and he's agonizing that she dangled the threesome carrot.
Get her in love.
Yeah.
No, I don't even know. I think that they were together for a week, and he said they were drunk months ago when they started dating, and she said, oh, I had a threesome once.
But did he fall in love because of this possibility?
I think there was probably more than that.
Right.
But now I think she said it once, and then he kept thinking it was going to happen. Hopefully this guy's not just with her because of that, but she says no. So it's guy's number one's fantasy, and she says in the heat of the moment, but she's, you know, she's now into him. So it's like, and they're in a relationship, and some women, the only way you should have a threesome in a relationship is if you're both on board and you're like, and a lot of times it can, you know, tear your relationship apart.
You're just going to have to let it go, man.
He's got
to
let it go.
That's it.
Yeah.
Have you had a threesome?
I had to think. Not really.
I had an aborted threesome once.
Well,
I've had a few, but this one was.
What counts as a threesome?
Two other people in the room that you touch in a
at the same time.
Maybe what happened a million years ago? I was with a woman, and that was the story. No,
and your dog was in the room, but there was nothing. No,
there was a woman I was with, and then we did stuff. This is my 20s. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's fine.
And then her roommate came in and lied with us. And then she did something with me.
She gave you a blowjob?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
The roommate.
Okay.
So, but it wasn't us three together. No, that doesn't count.
Okay, God, it doesn't count. But all I ever two.
I mean,
but
close.
It made me have reminisce about the good old days.
You got very close.
This guy has got to let it go because in the heat of the moment, you know that you know when she wasn't as emotionally attached to him, she might have said, "Oh, I had a threesome," but now they're together. So the good news, it's normal that he wants it and he's excited. The bad news, she's attached in a threesome. When you're into someone, you can get jealous and all these things can come up. So I think he's got two choices. He's got to just like let it go out of his mind and just maybe they could, you know, do other things that will excite him in their relationship, like watch porn together, tie each other up, like maybe watch threesome porn or do something else that will
let me
fulfill
ask you
your fantasy.
Like I said, I've never had a threesome, but with women, what's their jealousy factor with the third woman that's not in the relationship when they do it?
Oh, because, I mean, typically...
Are they jealous or are they just
I think it could be really... it's a case-by-case basis. There's some women who are... I mean, the rule with the threesome is if you're in a relationship and you want to do it, the woman has to be on board because typically it's another woman. So she maybe has been wanting to try out being with a woman. But the guy also gets... But it's not like, hey, honey, go, you know, get with this woman. I'll just watch. Sometimes that way. But typically he's also with the woman. So watching her partner, who she loves, have sex with a guy
gets her off.
Well, it could. Some women could get totally turned out, but someone are like could be so jealous, like they could think, "Oh, she's skinnier than me. He likes her more than me.
Right.
He's going. He's doing. They look like they're making out in a way we never have." I mean, it can bring up extreme jealousy, obviously. So you have insane with men too. So you have to be in a really solid
place. I would say with this guy, my concern would be that it may not get him out of his system if he likes it. If they'll do it once, you know what I mean? He may go, "Hey, let's try it again."
But she's on board with it.
But I'm saying, but even if she did agree to just once,
oh, he might want it more and more and more. Yeah, that often can happen. But I think he's obsessing on the wrong thing. It sounds to me, he says we're in a healthy relationship, it's stable, but I'm obsessing. So either you choose not to obsess and channel that energy into expanding your sex life elsewhere, or you got to break up. You know, he's kind of sabotaging in a way, and you're not going to get a woman to do anything, especially sexual, by begging her and bringing it up all the time.
And then I don't know, even if you break up over this, that's kind of lame.
It is kind of lame.
You know, you just got to let it go.
He sounds like that. He's got like an obsessive thing going, and if you really love her, there's a way you can kind of go back and challenge that and reconnoiter.
Okay.
Yeah. So do we have time for...
Do one more.
Okay, we can do one more.
All right.
Okay, what should we talk about here? We've got a few options. You can talk about being a virgin.
Yeah. Oh, well, you said that you were a virgin.
I was a virgin until I was 21.
Okay, so this is great for you.
Sure.
Okay, how to lose your V-card. Emily, my name is Zachary. I'm an 18-year-old man from Louisiana. I'm still a virgin. I've been listening to your podcast on my podcast iPad app for a few days. Your advice is amazing. Like I said, I'm a virgin, and I feel it's time to lose my V-card ASAP. Can you please tell me how to approach girls for casual sex and how to attract a woman? Thanks. Your podcasts are great. P.S. Hi, Menace.
Hello.
Zachary.
Okay, he's never had sex before, but he wants to have
casual
to
sex.
Start having casual sex.
Why don't we
sex?
Just start with sex, Zach?
All right, yeah.
Yeah, casual sex.
She is.
It's cute. People are too porn. Hey. Like, oh, when can I have a gangbang?
I want to have sex for the first time and then
how
10
deep
women
is it at 18?
Yeah. Right, exactly. So I think, you know, first of all, guys who are virgins, and women, they worry. I get it. You obsessed. Am I going to do it right? Is it going to be hard? You know, you can't really... You can plan for it, but it's not like you're going to be perfect the first time, and there is no perfect, because I'm sure you're going to be with someone who's fairly new at sex as well. So make sure that you, first of all, have condoms, safe sex. And I would say to guys, practice. Do you guys ever practice putting condoms on before you had sex?
No.
Okay. That's a good thing to do, because guys
definitely
forgot about that.
With Kathy Griffin, I tried with a condom, and so I don't know if we had sex, because... I have a lot of times I could stay I pushed and pushed and
did you feel
and it didn't stay hard. You know, I have problems with some women. It goes right in with the condom. Some it's hard. You push and push.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, some are going, "It's okay." They go, "Come on, you know, do it again. Try." So
to the coach.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, with the condom, it's hard for me. unless
condoms can do that for people too, but maybe it's the wrong condom.
Yeah, probably.
Yes. No, there's a lot of great condoms out there. People like the condoms, but there's, I love Skin condoms, SKYN. Mm-hmm. They are not latex. They're polyisoprene. They're thinner than most condoms, but they're still strong. I recommend a lot of people. Everyone's like, oh my God. It's like, you're not really, like, you're wearing nothing at all is their like slogan, mm-hmm. but it actually works. What would you say, Menace? First time, like, do you remember? Can you think back to that time last year when you had net sex?
I know, sex for the first time. To have sex for the first time, I think you really need to practice on just talking to a woman, you know? I used to say this, I haven't said it in a long time on the podcast, where every woman you meet, you don't have to be hitting on them. Just practice talking to them. Right. So when you do find the person that you would want to have sex with, that you're very comfortable in talking to a person in general,
right?
You know,
like, have women friends, yeah. right?
Because you're not going to go from like being a mute to having sex, right. You know, you definitely gonna have to talk them into it. And again, what I've always said on the show, if a woman's not into you, nothing physically is ever going to happen to you. You're not gonna die,
right? If she rejects you, know? You, like, you don't die from rejection, you, right?
It's all that, not too yeah. I mean, you die inside a little
you
bit.
Do your best work,
you know, your I feelings think. Might be hurt if a woman is not into you, but it's always like a numbers game too. You know, eventually you're gonna find that person that that you like, and they like you back, and then exactly. eventually you will have
that's
sex
so
with them.
Sweet when they just like I said, give you that look, or
yeah,
you don't have to work them like you think in the movies. Mm-hmm. They just
yeah.
kind of.
You don't have yeah. to put on this whole show.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I think then, he's just, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, or you have Tinder, you know. Apparently that's just a blowjob dispensary.
It is a blowjob. Yeah. Ross said that.
Yeah. So
how does it work?
I
before
from you.
He was what's Ross.
What's the difference between Tinder and Grindr? I don't know any of this stuff.
So Grindr's the gay one. Tinder is the... The just open, you know, meat market.
What does
market.
It mean? Go, hey, I want to mess with you?
Like, no, yeah. Well.
I'll show you.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not actively on it, yeah. but I've had my Tinder dalliances. I had a Tinder date on the show. I had a blind mm-hmm. Tinder date. Yeah.
Now, it's basically.
It was much better on the air than it was in real. I mean,
yeah, basically, you just open your phone and then I'll show you, like, all the women that are, like, attracted to you within a certain mile radius, right. apparently, right?
Right. Exactly.
And then also, there's another one.
You can choose your
that,
age range or how many miles you want.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not on Tinder.
But why is it more just casual sex?
It's, people say it is, you can choose. Not like they're like, if you go on a date with someone, you have to bang them.
Apparently, though, everyone is just hooking up off this thing.
Right.
So I guess I would recommend
yeah,
it too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, actually, there's a really interesting article my friend sent me. Maybe Madison sent, someone sent this to me, and it breaks down all of the different dating sites. So if you want, like, OkCupid is for, like, hipsters who hang out on bar, like Match.com, like, you pay for Christian Mingles, obviously, mm-hmm. for Christian, you know, Tinder. I mean, I'm going to post it on the website.
I heard if
really
you go to farmersonly.com, you're just going to get laid
immediately.
Get
farmers? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. But
once you open
Zach.
The website.
But I want to say, Zach, is that he's got to stay calm. Okay, some collected, you know, just like don't obsess about it. Mm-hmm. But stay calm. Hopefully you're in a state with someone that you're with someone that you're already
comfortable
with.
You know, when I was a virgin until 21, I thought it was more realistic. I'd be on a show like Happy Days. I had no self-esteem. I thought I was going to make it in comedy, in show business more than I thought I'd ever be with a woman. I had so little self-esteem, and
you're handsome, good-looking man.
I was really, really, really skinny when I was in high school. Skinny wasn't like a brooding animator or hey. It was like really. I used out the ugliest girl because I thought if she rejected me, all of them would. I didn't think. I thought. And she goes, "You're too skinny. Maybe if you gain 15 pounds." So I thought. So I didn't. I went for the bottom, and I thought if she's, I'm too skinny. So basically, I just a lot of issues, but it's all good. No self-esteem, like a stick figure, and so basically. Yeah, so it stayed with me. And then when I started wanting to be an actor, I thought that was more. So I remember my therapist was saying, "You're definitely going to have sex." He goes, "I could even write a prescription for you. I guarantee you'll have sex." But I really, what I'm trying to say is to give them reassurance. You think when you are an adolescent and have no self-esteem, it's never going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
Yeah.
He wants to know even just how to start talking. So I was thinking, I had all these tips I was giving to have sex. He just wants to know how to start approaching girls. But how do you start talking to women? Like we said, it just how to attract women, be yourself, don't overthink it, and literally talk to women wherever you go. If you're waiting in line for Starbucks, if you're at the bus, if you're even women you're not attracted to, just, or guys too, practice the art of conversation. And don't ask yes, no questions. Make observations. If you're standing, you know, outside, what do people do? I always think of Starbucks. What else do people do where they're together? Everyone's on their goddamn phones. But, you know, you can be like, you know, have you, when do you think they brought the pumpkin spice latte back? You know, something that they ask a question. Start a thing and like observe something, maybe compliment, you know, something she's wearing, be very specific, ask a question that's not a yes, no, and engage something, but not in a creepy way. You can just observe something that's happening in the moment around you.
Well, isn't he interacting with people that have a common ground? Oh, Mrs. Finkelstein's a math teacher, or I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not as hard if he's not trying to talk
to
those strangers.
He's 18 too, yeah. Like, do you think this test will be as hard as the last test?
Right.
You know, like I heard that if it did that. Yeah. Just start talking and it's an art, it is an art and it is a skill. Like learning to talk to people and feel comfortable is not something that we're all born with. Like I think we all have, a lot of us have an awkward time, but it came out of the womb talking. I have other issues, but for a lot of people, especially men, they have the fear of rejection. They think that there's the perfect thing to say. And we talked about this earlier on in the show. It's like, just be, it's easier to say, but he's 18, be yourself and practice talking to women.
Yeah.
And how do you attract her is if the more authentic you are, the more real you are, and don't be creepy.
Yeah, and my biggest thing, I go, what's your name? Where are you from? And I can guarantee you when they say where they're from, I can say something about, you know.
Right, because you know about, all these like weird facts little, about everywhere.
About like, you know, their state that they're from or the city or something like that. And very rare that I have absolutely nothing to say. And then the conversation just snowballs from there.
That's good.
It's
nice.
So easy. What's your name? Where are you from?
What was the best? Have you ever said something to a woman that like changed the game and next thing you know, you were...
Like I said, so. I I'm not good at working people. Like I said,
no,
with,
I don't mean you were working
with
you
auditions
trying,
or with women, they just, like I said, there's just an essence. It's almost predetermined attraction. So it's never really like, oh, who's this weird guy? And I say something, wait a minute, come back here.
I wanna hang out with you.
You know what I mean? Mm. It's just... In essence, yes, a connection. Mm-hmm. I never really, no woman was ever looking at me. Then I did a joke and they, wait, come back here. Hey, what's your name again? So I think it's like, you know, it's almost predetermined.
Well, I also think though, for men and for women, I always think of like, we all have friends that we feel really comfortable with, right? Like when you're with your guy friends or your family, maybe there's certain, we all have people that we're just like totally ourselves. We let it all hang out. And I think, like, for guys and for women, think of, channel that. Next time you're hanging out, be like, what am I like with, like, observe yourself. Next time you're just hanging out with your best friends, what am I doing now? Why am I so comfortable? And then think about who that person is and then bring that person out.
Well, you know, sometimes I'll be at a party and I'm talking to a woman and in my head I'm going, I'm trying too hard. I'm trying too hard. And I know when I'm doing that mantra, it means it's over.
Yeah.
It's not there. I know when I'm trying too hard. I know when if there's something not there, it's not there and it doesn't work.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go backwards right now because I'm going to do a sex in the news story that I really wanted to do.
All right.
Usually we do sex in the news and then we do emails, but I would like to do this.
All right.
Italy rules it's not illegal to masturbate on your lunch break. I just wanted to get your feedback about this.
All right. And when's your lunch? I'm just kidding.
No, exactly. So Italians make great food. They seem like happy, sensual people. So much so they believe that a man and woman.
There's so many bad jokes at restaurants. I mean, I'll shut up. But
right? No.
Like cooks, you don't want. No, obviously.
No, right. You're like, where's my waiter? Sorry.
Yes. We don't want to. I don't want to go to Italy and go. Did he just get off his lunch break? Yeah.
Oh shit! Right? Because this guy, it was It went to the Supreme Court. So they're saying it doesn't impair your job. Yeah, exactly. So,
but who's fighting for this stuff?
Wait.
Okay, well, I'm going to pay attention, people.
All right.
Sure.
Okay, they believe that a man in Italy, man and woman sexual urges are natural things. Don't deny them. Embrace them. Everyone in Italy shares this ethos. It's ingrained in the country all the way up to the Supreme Court. They said this week, it's fine for employees to watch porn on their lunch break since it doesn't pair with their job in Italy.
No, but I'm saying where? In the office?
I don't know. Like,
on a work computer?
I once had a kinky fantasy involving this.
Fantasies.
Get back to it.
We talk about, well, okay. We will in a minute. It does not. The case stems from a man who was fired from Fiat after he was caught watching pornography during his lunch break. He sued and the case went to the highest court. And bosses had caught the man watching adult films at work, but he argued that his viewing was limited to catching a glimpse of a movie during his lunch break.
But where was it? In the cafeteria or in his office?
Yeah. Was it on a work computer?
See, a car salesman and he had it on his desk.
Okay. The porn ruling at the Court of Cassation marked the end of a 5-year legal battle for the man. identified as Giuseppe Z, who's dismissed.
By the time it's over, he's middle-aged, doesn't want to masturbate anymore.
He's supported by the local court. It says, Italian edition of the local reported, as there was no evidence presented by Fiat that the man had indulged his porn habit during normal working hours because he was on his lunch break. He did nothing wrong. So he, you know, whatever. So it says, Italy's great. You know, why don't we all live there? I mean, I think this is the last thing that men need, though, is to actually be encouraged that it's okay to have watch porn during. I just thought you all like that. I just think that, you know,
it's insane. It's important
that we need permission. And this guy's just an idiot, though. Why was he, like, masturbating in his own porn thing during work?
Anyway, I think it's ridiculous.
That's right. I just want to say, but
if he was, on his own phone having a lunch break and doing it, then fine.
If you guys, and if you guys would like to leave here and go masturbate, I guess it's feel free. I want to just encourage you. At the end
wait, I'm confused. So in his own office with the door shut.
Yeah, you can masturbate. So that's the deal. I don't know. I just wanted to talk about Italy. I just talked about Italy. Okay. I talked about Italian masturbation. Madison's back because she had to walk the dog who almost peed.
All right.
So we're all done here, Fred. You're awesome. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, that was it. Nothing scary.
I told you, right?
You made it.
Susan Pinsky.
You survived.
A dear friend of mine said to you, Emily's going to make you talk about anal sex.
She goes, I can't picture you on that show.
What?
She goes, what?
I said, no anal penetration.
Yeah.
She goes, I can't picture you on that show. What are you going to talk about anal sex? I thought it's just beads and pouring candles on stuff.
She knows we don't. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, so Fred, everyone can find you. We have buy your book. Maybe we'll have you back. It's a great story. You're a great writer about struggle. I think a lot of people can relate to this. Relatable, and they should buy it. And your website, where do you want people to go?
We're at Amazon, wherever.
Books are stolen. And your website's fredstoller.net, and you're at Fred_Stoller on Twitter.
And you're going to link all this on
your website, because everything's on my website, too.
After
we post the show. You're awesome. Thank you.
And also, one thing
I have to notice is that, you know, a contest for Sibian. I'm giving away Sibian, which is awesome. Also, I think we're having our year anniversary party, our 10-year anniversary for the podcast Men is December 6th. Just knew it's coming.
December 6th.
Can you do it?
December 6th.
We just found out before the show.
Okay.
December 6th, people, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. And also, just check me out. Check all this out. Check my Twitter, Instagram. I love you all. Thank you, Madison.
Thanks, everyone,
for listening. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, guys, I got to tell you about Fleshlight, which is the number one sex toy for men. And it's probably the only one you want. So let me tell you about it. It's a male masturbation sleeve. And I know you're thinking, I've got my hand. Why do I need anything else? I'm sure your hand works fine, but we talked a lot about toys on the show. If you could feel something that actually felt like sex, but not like your hand, but just as amazing, and you had mind-blowing orgasms, doesn't it make you curious? Don't you want to try it? I think you should try it, the Fleshlight. It is a crowd pleaser. Not one guy, and I know a lot of you bought it, who listened to the show, have ever said, like, I want to return my Fleshlight. It sucked. Or like, oh my God, where's the Fleshlight been my whole life? So check it out. If you want to last longer in bed, like our earlier caller, they have the stamina training unit that can help you do that. And they also have the new Flight, which is smaller and lighter, but it does not necessarily mean for smaller penises. So don't be upset if you buy that one. It doesn't mean you have a small penis. Check it out. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, and use code Emily, and you get a free bottle of their award-winning Fleshlight. You know, I've been talking to you about my candles for a while now, my Emily and Tony candles. And if you have not tried them yet, or if you don't even know what hell a massage candle is, they are amazing, truly. And it's not just because they have my name on them. But the truth is, I had tried massage candles before, and they were like, okay, I love the concept of a massage candle. I love the fact that a regular candle, you can pour it on your partner and give a massage. That's all great. But the other ones that existed, I just felt were kind of like sticky and didn't make you feel good and didn't smell good. And so I made these candles that are like vegan, except for the beeswax part, but they're coconut oil and soybean oil. They smell amazing and they feel amazing. And the feedback from my listeners have been great. Like people, because I invented those people could change their life. And I got a listener who just emailed me and said, my girlfriend was skeptical at first, but agreed to try the warm oil on me first and gave me a back rub. Then I reciprocated and we had amazing sex. She cannot stop talking about how good the candle smells and how great the massage oil feels. And I'm convinced that the scent and the candle helped us through some of our barriers to sex we faced lately. Now you can get a full-size Emily and Tony candle for $28. We just are having a special thing right now on the site.
So go to
emilytony.com. And I think you use code Emily still and you get percentage off. Super
organized. It's good for Thanksgiving
coming up. Okay, everyone, it's great for Thanksgiving.
Just put it on the table with the turkey.
Totally, and then everyone gives a massage there afterwards. Mm-hmm. My family all sat around one Thanksgiving and watched the Kim Kardashian sex video.
I thought it was going to be your mom's sex video that she put out.
Oh my God, dude, we're going to talk about that. Okay, everyone, so thanks for listening and check out the candles.